The fur on the back of Tesco's neck stood up. She twisted to look behind herself. An absence of Giroux marked the empty lab stations, just rows of darkened desks and testing tables and sample cabinets. With half the lights off, she could have sworn the shadows formed the shape of Geordian outlines, felinoid ears, and lithe shoulders. She expected to see one of their light-refracting eyes pop open and stare at her through slit pupils. "They're coming for me," she thought. "They're going to find it, and it's going to be my fault." Ever since the ship arrived at the barren planet designated C-18-3, the normally uneventful ship life had grown tense. Even now, the Geordian guard and Commissioner Pococoro were topside, finishing up the ship-wide audit. Tesco felt a pulling need to be there. Not that her presence would do anything but tacitly reveal the precise location she didn't want them to look. An audit had never found the hiding place before, and yet... She should have moved it. Never mind that she had no time. Plus, the thing was 80 times her weight, and dragging it down the central ramp of the ship would have alerted. "Mum, it's your turn," B, sitting across from her, said. His shoulders barely came above the table. "Huh?" Tesco turned back. "Oh, right." She smiled at her son and his little, grinning, intelligent ears. It was hard for Tesco to believe she had ever been uncertain about having a cub, and now she didn't know what she would do without him. Maybe it was just the motherly hormones tinting the act of carrying a fragile, beautiful life in her pouch, but that temporary infatuation should have ended long ago. Tesco didn't believe in spiritual experiences, but nevertheless, there was something divine in this act of creation. Maybe that was why she stuck with the exit plan all these years, even pushing through the hardship and fear to see it done. She needed, not as a mere base desire, but as an integral part of her own cosmic story, to create something beautiful, something that would outlast the fragile shell of her own body. Tesco looked down at her rack of tiles through her spectacles, then the tile B had placed at the front of the line. 3 blue. She plucked it and replaced it with one of the greens she'd been hoarding, ears spread sweetly at her son. B snatched the tile immediately. "Chain," B declared. The small cub tipped forward the tray holding his tiles, revealing them. Tesco's smile vanished. She blinked, looking up from her own sequence that was one tile away from victory. At first, she didn't believe she heard her son right, but she looked across the row of B's tiles, all correctly numbered with the correct color sequences, and a devious grin spread on her ears. "You sneak," she exclaimed. Tesco was so short that even with B quickly catching up with her in height, she could not reach him from the other side, and so climbed upon the table. Tesco dragged B over the tiles, pinned him to the drawer pile, and playfully nipped at his ears, making a mess of the game. "You knew I was looking for the 5 run from the beginning." B yarped and giggled proudly. "Yeah, and I didn't drop those tiles until I already got 3 4s. B giggled. "You outsmarted me, you little punk." Tesco pulled B back until he was sitting on her lap and she squeezed him tight. "Oh, ancestors, I'm proud of you, you smart aleck, you brain monster." Being only 5, B was more than happy to receive the hugs, kisses and other sorts of affection from his mother, though she knew full well within a year or two he'd start acting all embarrassed about it in earnest. It would be its own kind of adorable, and she could foresee herself lovingly tormenting him then too. Someone at the door cleared their throat. Tesco jumped and clutched B as she reflexively shielded him with her body. B squeaked as she compressed his chest, tiles scattered to the floor, ticking and tacking like a radiation meter. Chandra stepped into the light. She was a sandy-pelted Giroux wrapped in a fancy embroidered sash that hung loosely off her shoulders. She tilted her ears at the scene. "I hope I'm not interrupting," she said,